Well, friends, this is a really exciting story. You may find this morning's story quite odd. Demon possession and pigs being cast into a lake, and we're going to need God's help. Let's pray for God's help. Heavenly Father, we believe your word. We trust your word. We pray that you would teach us this morning what you want us to learn, especially about your son and about his great power, which is now exercised and now protects us in our lives. So encourage us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it would have been a pretty rocky ride for the disciples this day. It's the same day as the boat ride that Ben preached last week, and Jesus calms the wind and the waves. Then they hit the shore and they meet this demon-possessed man. And if it was me, I would have said, Jesus, let's get back in the boat. This guy looks dangerous. I know you can calm waves, but I don't think you can do anything with this guy. You know, let's just get out of here. Let's risk the storms. I once read in a tourist guide to New York, one of the tips is, if you're going to New York, I went there in 2010, we caught the subway a lot. And apparently one of the subway tips was, if all the, let's say there's like eight carriages, you know, in the train, and if they're all full but there's one that's empty, don't go in the one that's empty, because obviously there's someone there that's like threatening, or someone there that smells, or someone there that has made a mess. And I think that's what this man is like. People call him the Gerasene demoniac. I don't know what to call him. We don't know his name, but he's in deep trouble. He's deeply caught by evil. And so it's a hard day for Jesus' disciples because they don't know the extent to Jesus' authority. If only they knew what we know. Let me share a snippet from the Apostle Paul in Colossians about the power of Jesus over everything in creation. Here's what Paul says. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by Jesus and for Jesus. He's that great. But they didn't know that at this point in his earthly ministry. And interestingly, that little snippet from Paul speaks of beings in our universe, visible and invisible. It speaks of thrones, powers, rulers and authorities. There are invisible hierarchies of beings. There are angels, there are demons, there's Satan. I think there's actually even more creatures than that. The Bible hints at diverse ranges of hierarchies of invisible beings. And in the heavenlies, they can be for Jesus or they can be against Jesus. And so the disciples don't realize that here is Jesus. He is the creator. All things were made through him and all things are for him. He's going to be the judge of all people and the judge of all beings, the judge of all angels. One day he'll be the judge of all demons. Jesus is amazing. What the disciples do know though, and I think we missed this, or I missed this, about 2 weeks ago in the parable of the sower, Jesus has already given us everything a Christian needs to know about Satan in the parable of the sower. It's the same chapter. It's Luke chapter 8. If you've got it open there, page 732. If you just go back a page, the parable of the sower, the first soil was the one where the farmer scatters the seed, which is Jesus sowing the gospel, the word of God, and the birds come and peck it and steal it. And Jesus says in chapter 8 verse 12, those along the path are the ones who hear the word of God, and the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. That's pretty much the most important verse, I think, for you to know about who is Satan and what is he trying to do. Have you ever tried to read the Bible and found there are like 100 better things to do that you suddenly think of? Ever tried to read the Bible and find, you know, you can't find the Bible, or there's something better to do, or you look up the Bible on your phone and then you get a notification for something else that distracts you. Satan doesn't want you to read the Bible. And really, Satan has two goals according to Jesus. He doesn't want you to hear the Word of God, because in the Word of God are the promises of the gospel. And Satan's second goal is that you might not believe in Jesus and be saved. So Satan's great work, which he's continuously doing until the day of judgment, is to stop people hearing the Word of God and believing in Jesus and being saved. And that, so when those things are happening, when people are ignoring the Bible and ignoring Jesus, Satan is winning. So if you want to thwart Satan, all you have to do is be deep in the Bible, be listening in church, but be day to day, be deep in the Bible, and also trust in Jesus and be saved. And then Satan is defeated. And so that's the main foundation you need to understand this story. Why is it that Jesus goes and these kind of people come to him? Well, I think it's a little bit like Jesus' birth when the angels come. We don't normally see angels, but angels are everywhere at Christmas in Jesus' birth. There's a sense in which Jesus being the creator coming into his creation is uniquely attracting these invisible forces wherever he goes. And you may be thinking as you read the story about this guy that's just sort of bizarre and they tie him up and he breaks the bonds. You may be wondering, is he just someone who's mentally ill, and in their ignorance they've called it a demon? But I don't think we're given that option, because Luke, we know, was a physician. So in Colossians chapter 4, Paul says, "Say hello to Dr. Luke for me." And so Luke was a well-trained, educated, Hellenistic or Greek physician. And the way he writes the story, he would know what it is to have mental illness and what people look like with that. But the way the story is written, with the demons being cast out into the pigs and those tending the pigs witness it, it's very supernatural. It's very objective. It's actually something demonic. It's not something to do with mental illness. So that's a different category. So who is the guy? What does he look like? When Jesus steps ashore, he's met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. There's much to be afraid of in this man. He's done evil. He lives in evil places, cemeteries. He lives near a pig farm, it seems. Pigs are the great unclean animal in the Old Covenant. He has much evil in him. People have tried to restrain him, but the evil that is in him seems to give him extra physical strength. And so he's well known in the region, and he's basically exiled to live in solitary, unclean, dark places. We don't know how he got to this point. Was he just overwhelmed? We can only guess. I wonder if he was a man who played with evil things and became overwhelmed. And, you know, that's possible with sin and with evil, to flirt with evil and then find you're caught in deep waters over your head, more than you can manage. But anyway, interestingly, the demons in the man immediately recognize Jesus. They know Colossians 1, the power of Jesus as the creator. And so, you know, the demons beg Jesus. Let me find it. "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" That's like Colossians. They're saying, you are the judge. You are God's eternal Son. You are the one through whom the universe was made. And so they're kind of realizing, they see who Jesus is. "I beg you, don't torture me." Now, I think they're kind of acknowledging that one day Jesus will end evil in the universe. That day is not come yet. One day Jesus will judge, and one of the things he will do is cast Satan and all his armies into eternal punishment. And I think they're kind of saying, and they actually say to Jesus, don't throw us into the abyss. Don't send us to hell now. You know, we thought this is not the time yet. And the demons may also, I wonder, be projecting onto Jesus their own values. What do demons like to do? Torture people, hurt people. So they think Jesus is going to hurt them. Jesus kind of actually, surprisingly, is not interested with them. He's interested in the man. He wants to redeem the person. He wants to seek and save the lost. And so Jesus' interest, the demons sort of get in the way. Jesus' concern is to get this man transformed, delivered, redeemed, forgiven, you know, and that's exactly what happens. By the end of the story, the man is dressed in his right mind, loves Jesus, wants to go with him. It's a great story. But anyway, Luke does give us, it's so interesting, Luke gives us more of the conversation. Jesus asks the demons, what is your name? And they say, Legion. And Luke notes, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. And according to Wikipedia, a Roman legion, which is a major kind of legion at the time, had up to 4,000 to 5,000 men. That's a lot of demons in one person. And then the story gets weirder. Jesus gives them permission to leave the man, and they immediately jump into the unclean pigs, and then they can do is torment, and the pigs sort of are tormented, and they throw themselves into the lake, and it's almost like a scene from a horror movie. The sounds, the noise, it must have been very disturbing. And we'll pause for a moment, because we've got to go on and see what that effect this has on the town. But remember, the main point of Luke's gospel is, who is Jesus? So let's pause and ask, what do we learn about our Saviour? What do we learn about the power of our Lord? It's actually fantastic, because we see the goodness and the kindness combined with the power and majesty of God in Jesus in this story. He has full control over evil, unlike us. I couldn't cast a demon. I've got sin in my heart. I'm trying to fight all the time. But Jesus is all powerful and all good, and he is your loving creator and savior. So to know Jesus as savior and Lord is to be under his dominion, and his dominion excludes the demonic. You know, the reign of Jesus is something that was won not just by his presence and occasional casting out demons, but won by the bloodshed on the cross, where salvation was accomplished, where Jesus said, it is finished. How powerful must the blood of Jesus be to protect a believer, to forgive a believer, to deliver a believer? I think if you are in Christ, you have nothing to fear with demons or with Satan. You know, in Jesus you have deliverance and protection. You know, so a Christian, therefore, has nothing to worry about. Now, I worry about unbelievers who think they can toy with evil and nothing will go wrong. That's risky. That's dangerous. That's foolish. But we as Christians should have full confidence in the potency, the power of Jesus. He has ultimate dominion. And the picture of the man sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed in his right mind, it ought to make you think, if someone that bad could be transformed, then how much more me? Because I don't think any of you are as bad as that guy. And you've all done bad things, I'm sure, and maybe you've toyed with evil. But if this man can be fully transformed through the power of Christ, then how much more should our confidence be that we are safe and secure in the Lord Jesus Christ? If you have any concern, continually, all you have to do is come back to the blood of Christ and ask him, forgive me, cleanse me, change me. It's a great prayer. Forgive me, cleanse me, change me. And be confident that you are forgiven, cleansed and changed by the blood of Christ. You may have something in your history that you're ashamed of and that Satan actually uses against you to burden you with guilt. That's not what Jesus is doing. Jesus has forgiven you by his bloodshed on the cross. And so we're freed from that. And maybe when it comes to heaven, like we look forward to a time when we'll be, all those things will be fully forgotten. In heaven, there are no shameful memories. In heaven, you know, sins are wiped away and they'll be forgotten by God by the blood of Christ. There are no bad memories in heaven. So friends, stay strong in Christ and you're safe until that day, until the day of eternal life arrives. It's true, Satan is working night and day to try and get you to not hear the word, to not believe in Jesus and be saved. But it's also true, Jesus is working night and day to receive sinners. Jesus lives to intercede for his children. Satan really, I think, is a bully. And a lot of bullies, their bark is worse than their bite. A lot of bullies don't actually have a lot of power. But if you've been bullied, it actually really does hurt knowing that someone is targeting you. You know, could have been at work, could be in your school. But to be bullied is a horrible, horrible thing. And Satan is constantly plotting for your destruction. And so we ought to have a sense of fear, actually, that if we let go of Christ, that's very dangerous, very dangerous. The man who he was when he had the legion is a picture of life outside Christ eternally. And imagine an eternity that is solitary, shameful, tortured, and lonely. That is what Jesus wants to rescue us from. In John's gospel, famous verse, John 10:10, good memory verse. Jesus speaks of Satan that the thief comes only to steal, kill and destroy. But what does Jesus say? I have come that you may have life and life to the full. Jesus is our great friend, our great protector. Whenever you're bullied, you need a good friend. And Jesus is that friend. Satan is trying to get us. He tried to get the disciples. Later in Luke's gospel, Jesus says to Peter that, he says, Simon Peter, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat, that he might, you know, destroy you. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Jesus is the one who, in Hebrews, is our great high priest who lives to intercede for us at the right hand of the Father in heaven. You are safe in Jesus, absolutely safe. You know, in Christ, you can have full confidence. Outside Christ, no confidence. Later in Luke's gospel, there's a great line. He sends out the disciples on a mission trip. He sends them out in pairs, the 72, and to preach the kingdom. And he says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I think how fast lightning falls. And I think it's kind of a way of Jesus saying, now that I've arrived, I can swat Satan like a mosquito on the back of my hand. It's nothing. He's gone if you're in me. If you are a Christian and you're worried about demons, don't be. Our remedy in Christ is this. James chapter 4, it's so simple. Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's the power of being in Christ. That's the power of being in Christ. Just resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Well, what actually happens in the story, it actually turns out that these demons, the legion, got one last trick in against Jesus. They're so sneaky, they're so crafty, so devious. By going into the pigs and causing the kind of horror scene, the tenders of the pigs go into town and report what happened. And then the whole town comes back and there's no pigs, but what they see is the man in his right mind sitting at Jesus' feet. And instead of being rejoicing, they're scared. And Luke says in verse 37, then all of the people of that region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them. Isn't that sad? Because they were overcome with fear. So Jesus got into the boat and he left. And so even in the end, the demons kind of tricked the broader crowds that Jesus was someone to be afraid of. And they asked Jesus to leave. Think of how good that is for Satan, because he doesn't want people to hear the word of God and be saved. And so now the whole region is not trusting Jesus. They've pushed Jesus away. And that I really, I think, is Satan's main ministry, to have people ignore Jesus, to have people apathetic about Jesus, to have people turn on the nose to Jesus. Satan's main ministry isn't possessing people. All he wants is that you ignore Jesus so you don't believe and are not saved. And that's Australia today. So friends, we don't want to be like that. We want to be like the transformed man. It's so sweet. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with Jesus. Can I come with you? Everyone who's been saved by Jesus loves time with Jesus. Everyone who's been redeemed from evil and forgiven by the blood of Christ wants to pray to Jesus. Everyone, you know, who's been impacted by Jesus wants to be with other people who love Jesus in the same way. But Jesus says, no, no, you've got a mission. You need to go and counter the propaganda that's being said. Go home and tell how much God has done for you. So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. And I guess we pray that people believed him and not the crowds in their fear of Jesus. So let's draw this together. It's a great story, actually. Who is Jesus? He's the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of all creation. Through him, by him, all things were created. Things in heaven, earth, visible, invisible, thrones, powers, rulers, authority were created by him and for him. Who is Satan? Satan is simply a rebellious, created being who wants to block people seeing Jesus and being saved through hearing the promises of the word. So friends, I challenge you today to resolve to put your life in the hands of Jesus and to put your confidence in Jesus, to not be a timid Christian, to not think that you can somehow be attacked. You're in a safest place there is. You're with the Lord of Lords. You're with the King of Kings. You've been cleansed by the most powerful blood there is. In Jesus is your life, life to the full. Don't ignore Jesus. Don't play loose with Jesus. Don't avoid Jesus. That's the worst choice you can make. Resolve today that you will not let Satan take your eyes off him. Resolve today that you will not let Satan take your eyes off him. Resolve today that you will not let Satan take your confidence off the cross and, you know, put it into something else, put it into your good works or your ritual or I don't know what it is you put your confidence in otherwise. Say confidently, in Jesus is my full deliverance. The cross is my perfect redemption. When you feel fear, when you feel doubts, in Jesus is my full deliverance. In the cross is my full redemption. And stand strong in him, friends. Stand strong. Can I pray for us? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are such a safe refuge from evil. We thank you that you are the forgiver, the transformer, the deliverer. Lord Jesus, I pray that we will stand confident in you with our eyes fixed on you always. Help us to encourage each other in this as a church. And may we, you know, stand boldly in you and help others hear your word and believe in you and be saved. Amen.